MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one very tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and we are here with Chef Luca Paris for my favorite segment, Culinary CPR. Chef Luca, you've seen him. He pretty much owned the Food Network when he competed on Guy's Grocery Games, where he won. He is the executive chef owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe. They won more awards than we have time to go through. Best Mediterranean Restaurant, Best Caterer, Best Restaurant, according to New Hampshire Magazine. He's been Restaurateur of the Year. And the list just goes, as I said, on and on. And I want to get right to the food, the recipe he's sharing with us today, because I have no idea how to pronounce it correctly. So I'm going to let Chef Luca introduce the dish.
Well, hello again, Mike. I am so excited about this dish. And I think the subject of this show should be, does size matter? Now, I'm going to let that sink in for a bit. Yes, it does. Even though Mike and I might tell you different, it matters. Yes, it does. Actually, size and shape does matter. And what are we talking about, Mike? You got it.
We're pasta.
Talking pasta. Yeah, that's right. We are talking pasta. Size and shape matters. Now, the dish we're going to be talking about, it's called bucatini pasta con funghi e crema, which just means it's a long noodle
just say
of pasta.
That, just say that one more time, because you're giving me chill bumps.
Okay. It's bucatini pasta con funghi e crema. It's a beautiful
buonissimo,
cut.
Bella, bella.
It's a beautiful cut of pasta. It's a long cut like a spaghetti. And bucatini in Italian, buca or buco, means whole. So it looks like spaghetti, but it has a hole going through the whole thing. So it's like I tell when I taught the kids what it was, I said it's like a straw. So when it's not cooked, you could use it as a straw, basically. But when you cook it, I'll talk about why that is the type of pasta. Now, for years, my son's 15, my daughter's 13 now. For years, it would be, Dad, why does it matter what cut of pasta we have? Does it matter for this or that? And I would say, listen, just trust me. Eat this with this. Eat this with this. There's a difference. And it really does. And the thing about it is, you know, the difference, right? I mean, you break pasta into two things. Long cuts. This is just simplicity because it gets broken down a lot more. Long cuts or shaped cuts. Penne, penne rigate, rigatoni. Those are shaped cuts. Farfalle, which are the bow ties. You know, there's a lot of different ones like that. The corkscrew pasta. Those are shaped cuts. Those are great for sauces. They hold the sauce really well. They're great for cream sauces and things that could get into the ridges, into the holes of the pasta. Those are great. Then you have the long cuts. Those are great for items that are in the pasta. So when you twirl the pasta around your fork, you're picking up the vongole, the clams, or you're picking up the broccoli, or you're picking up the pieces of a sun-dried tomato, and all that, those are great for the long cut. Now, what we have, like, I'll give you, for instance, where it matters. Tagliatelle is a flat noodle of pasta. It's this flat, it's about, I guess, a quarter inch wide noodle of pasta. Now, when you have tagliatelle and you have this four cheese, creamy, Alfredo style sauce, well, what happens is the tagliatelle is a flat noodle. Other flat noodles get on top of it. They're attached by this glue of a sauce, which is delicious in of its own right, but it becomes one big conglomerate dish. Each piece is not its own thing. Accepting the sauce, it's gluing the sauce and the pasta together. So texturally, it doesn't work. That same sauce on a penne rigate or a noodle that has ridges or conchiglie, which are the shells, all of a sudden, that sauce gets into the shell and makes it delicious. So if you go through all the motions of pasta, and Mike, I have to admit, I've had my share. This is not just theory. I've experienced this through my whole life, growing up into an Italian family. We've had every type of pasta imaginable. We've had every sauce imaginable. So So there's no way that I did an experiment, not on purpose, but it just seemed like this is the way it worked. You just knew from generation to generation. My dad said, yeah, that doesn't work with that sauce. You know, a nice meat ragu needs to get onto that, that could work with one pasta, doesn't work with another. It's kind of cool once you get into the dichotomy of the pasta hierarchy or whatever you want to call it. But it's, well, it's a lot of fun.
You know, and I want to share why when it comes to these, you know, complex shaped pastas, I only buy real Italian pasta. And one of the real reasons for that has to do with very important health reasons. Because according to Italian law, when they export that, you'll see on the back, it's only made with durum wheat, which is an ancient grain. Some other Italian pastas I've seen that I've bought also, and they'll say specifically on the box, may be made with a kamut, which is another type of ancient grain, but they're not cutting in the, you know, modern, over-processed, over-refined wheat flour that you'll see from a lot of the, particularly the bargain brands that are made in the United States. And the other reason is particularly with the Italian flat pastas, you'll see them, a lot of times they'll say, you know, sort of brass extrusion device, and you don't have to worry about the details of what all that is. But it plays on something that you said that's incredibly important. And if you see and look at the brands in the United States, because of the way they're made and pressed out, you'll see that their surface is very, very smooth. And so the sauces and things that you would serve with that don't cling. Whereas because of the way the Italian pasta is made, you know, traditionally, and Italy takes, and I think you would agree with, great pride in their pastas and pasta production. So they're made, you know, very authentically. They adhere to these rigid rules. Because when it goes through that brass extruder, it's actually the surface, if you were to look at it under a microscope, is very, very rough and uneven. And so it's got the texture to perform in the sauces that you're talking about that will completely fall apart if you use like a U.S. bargain brand.
And that's, here's the key, what you just said. Sometimes we look to, we've talked on shows before about using inexpensive cuts of meat and making them delicious. There are some times where you can't do anything with something that you're spending too little on. My feeling is always about buy the best quality pasta you can buy, because no matter what, it's still the cheapest dinner you're ever going to serve your family or friends. So if you're spending an extra dollar for that pound of pasta, it's still pennies, and the quality is 10 times. It's exponential versus what you're spending on it. So when you find a good quality of pasta, go for it. It's an Italian brand, specifically made in Italian, because now we have some Italian brands that are now made in the United States. They've changed their texture and quality, and they're allowed to do different things by law, like you talked about. So find products that are imported from Italy, that are made in Italy, and you're going to find incredible pasta products.
And you know, I'm so glad that you brought this dish to us today, because and we're talking about pasta, because I think it highlights really, you know, for me, what the message, what the show is really about. You're bringing us something that is just, you know, freaking delicious. And delicio, you know, it's just so much pleasure, from the palate perspective. Yet we have a whole different discussion that has to do with the health benefits, which are really important in choosing what kind of wheat that we're going to be consuming, you know, with very divergent outcomes. One is healthy. It's going to build your gut microbiome in the proper way. One is going to be detrimental and potentially pro-inflammatory, and, you know, is what I think people talk about when you talk about sort of the wheat belly and, you know, a grain, brain grain and all that sort of thing. And yet what we find is that we can marry these together here and get the best of both. And that's just,
I agree, Mike. And what you're doing is not taking something, you know, most of the fad diets out there are taking away things that, it depends on who you talk to, will tell you we don't need it anyway. But sometimes, can you imagine an Italian family growing up without having pasta? I don't know how it's even possible. I think it's sacrilegious, and they shake their head at you. Now, I understand If you have an allergy to something, that's one thing. But when you have it available, just buy the best product, and that ends the story, because you're going to get a good nutritional value off of it, as well as an amazing product. And that's important.
And you're going to get the health benefits that you see in the Italian people who eat the Mediterranean diet with a ton of pasta. Mm-hmm. When you go authentic and get the ingredients you're talking about, and you know, you do not get the same benefits, you know, dining at the Olive Garden every day. And it's, you know, it's just that simple. You know, Olive Garden ate Mediterranean Italian food. what you're talking about, this is the real stuff. And so, you know, you're spending a little more for this real pasta. But, you know, folks, I want you to realize this is also, you're going to get flavor benefit. That's a perk. But this is like a health investment. You're going to get that, you know, really good, important fiber. You're getting the right kinds. These ancient grains that they're using are richer in antioxidants. They have more protein. They have a heck of a lot more of the important vitamins and minerals. So I think, you know, as you and I have talked, there's just no reason not to do it. And as you said, too, I mean, we're not talking about the, you know, $20 difference in the pasta. We're probably talking less than a buck. Wouldn't you think?
Right. Oh, no. When you're buying a good pasta, I mean, you could always go gourmet and pay even $3 more for a bag, but you know what? Sometimes that's not really worth it. Those are just because they're fancy flavors or shapes or whatever. So stick with a good Italian product. You'll find they're about $1 more than what you're paying for inexpensive, whether it's American or Turkish or whatever other country is now making a pasta. Go with the Italian. Go with $1 and pennies more, and you'll see a big difference. Now, the dish we have today, the bucatini with mushrooms, I love mushrooms. And I'm lucky enough that we have a local forager and cultivator of mushrooms that brings
me... You are spoiled.
this is where it gets even better. I mean, and we talk mushrooms all the time. And, you know, he talks about the mitochondria, which is basically the building block or the breaking down of ingredients and how it breaks down, and kind of it's the circle of life kind of thing that comes from mushrooms. And by cooking it down, each mushroom has their own unique, amazing flavor. Now, my recommendation for a dish like we're making today, it's got cream and it's got mushrooms. Now, I love for a blend of mushrooms, and we're going to get into the recipe, is this kind of shiitake, oyster, cremini. If you want some portobellos, you put some portobellos. These are kind of hardy mushrooms. The oysters do break down a little bit. But these mushrooms here pack a wallop and don't break your pocketbook. And they're good mushrooms. Now, what I like to intensify it, I haven't put that in the recipe because it's not always easy to find, but are the dry porcini mushrooms.
Wow.
Now, dry porcini mushrooms, when you buy them dry, because I could actually, occasionally we get them fresh in this part of the country during the late spring. You got to get a couple of good rains, and the mushrooms start popping, but we'll get porcini. But porcini mushrooms, for people who have never tried them, they're usually harvested late summer and autumn, and then they're dried and preserved, and they have this intense mushroom flavor, so it's this dry product. Now, depending on how you want to use it, I don't soak it, which is kind of bringing them back to life in anything and then use them that way. What I'll do is I'll take it, blitz it in a food processor, and I have basically a porcini mushroom dust, or you could add some salt to it. It's a mushroom salt. So I add that to something like this, and it intensifies the mushroom flavor, and then it comes out in the cooking process, which is outrageous. So I love doing things like that with dried mushrooms.
You know what? I've done a porcini. I actually do exactly what you've done with the porcini mushrooms. I make it into a dust, and I've done it right before I grill a steak.
Because
it just amps up that beefiness.
Yep.
And one of the things that you're talking about, that mushrooms contain the glutamates, which are, you know, the flavor turbo boosters that give you that umami. You know, that sixth flavor. So, oh boy, I tell you, looking at this recipe, and you just, you know, it was a home run before. You just set the record, you know, for distance from home plate to the ball landing. If you put porcinis in this, I mean, this thing is going to be a flavor bomb.
Well, and I think that's a, I think if it's, if we're going to give someone a something to take away from this, not only the recipe and the concept of what we're doing, but one of the other things is have dry mushrooms available, because you could not only get porcini, you could get dry shiitake, you could get other dry mushrooms, and depending on what flavors you like when they intensify, they're very different than the fresh product. The best way to figure this out, because you can't get fresh porcini very often, and then they're expensive. But take shiitake mushrooms, which are commonplace at this point, where you could get any time, get a fresh shiitake, then get dry shiitake mushrooms, which you could find very easily too now, and then cook with that, and you'll see the difference in flavor. The intensity of the dried product when it's used in cooking gives you another level of flavor, and that umami really comes through with the dry product, so because it's so intense. And between the two, you're just adding, it's layering, and that's with all cooking. It's how you layer your flavors, whether you're searing the mushrooms and adding that, whether you're doing onions and you salt in different stages. Layering your flavors will make the difference between cooking an at-home cook who salts near the end or just puts one level of an ingredient or one type of an ingredient where it's prepared one way to what we try to do here at a restaurant or at our level where we're trying to find different profiles of the same flavor and seeing what it can accomplish in the end. So that's what makes cooking fun. It's not just, I made a dish, we're going to eat, this is good for me, and that was great. It's what you can do and what you could accomplish. That's why no dish is ever the same twice, because of what you do to it, how you react to, hey, maybe I'll try this, maybe I'll do this. It makes it so, man, I just want to go and cook right now. I'm just having too much fun talking about it.
Well, it is, and you know, what you're hitting on is what I like to call, you know, the food experience. This is, you know, a critical role for the food experience. And, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, as a physician and as a chef, I'm really doing the same thing. I mean, I'm just, you know, trying to deliver, you know, healing, love, and all the good energy that you can do in the world. And, you know, that's, what do you think? I mean, my feeling is all chefs, all the people who haven't burned out, who really enjoy, like you said, and talking with you, it just makes me want to jump in the kitchen, and that's part of it, you know. You're sharing love, and that's good, and that's good for your body. I mean, I know it gets crazy in the weeds because I've been in it. I know you've been in there more often than me, but you know, I've had my share, and it can be stressful. But you know, at the end of the day, don't you just feel great?
Well, I think yeah. If you're making people happy, there's never going to be a bad thing about it. But I also think at a home level, you create so many more bonds if you cook with your family, you cook with your friends, you talk about these kind of things. And you know, people do it all the time. It's not just because we're in the business of this, but people love to talk about what they make. I mean, look at all the Pinterest and all the stuff on Facebook that people say, I made this, I made that. It's actually fun, and it's social. Foods should be as social as anything. Again, I come from an Italian family, and not only because the pasta, but what's really important is food was central to everything we did, not just eating the food. It was the preparation, whether it was Sunday dinners and watching my grandmother and my mother and my dad cook and stealing food from them as they're cooking or what have you, or realizing that at one point, no matter what occasion, somebody was getting married, well, we have to make sure we have food at all points so people are around. Somebody's visiting. Somebody died. And the more important thing wasn't, you know, what were the processes going to be to do this ceremony. It was what are we going to make? And I'm like, really? That's what you're thinking about? Oh, my God, we have all these people. What are we going to make for them? Or what? Someone has to bring food. It's part of the social aspect of everything we do. And when you add it good stuff, man, it gets great. You know?
And you know, that's part of human history, right? You know, you think about wakes and feasts, you know, to honor. And for me, it's a way, you know, at that point between, you know, life and death, what you're really doing is you're honoring death, but you're also celebrating life with the food and
right.
celebrating the fellowship. And, you know, that's what, again, that food experience, it's why, you know, I'm working on a new book now, but part of what I'm talking about and what I've come to realize and learn, and now the data is really supporting, and why nutrition alone is never the answer for our health. It's because the food, our relationship with food is too deep and too complex. You know, it's like saying, you know, well, a human being's 5 pounds of chemicals and 90%, you know, seawater. Well, if you mix them all up in a bowl, you don't get a person. And,
right.
and to try to reduce food to, you know, this RDA or this vitamin B, it's not going to work. And you know, that's my two cents on that. So one other thing that I want to touch on this recipe as you go through it is, folks, we talked about real Italian pasta. This dish calls for Parmesan cheese. Please buy real Parmesan cheese. That would be Italian Parmesan cheese. Don't go for something in a green can. It ain't Parma, and it ain't going to taste the same.
There are stories about that I could tell you today. No, it really is. I mean, if that's, we're talking a little bit bigger in price difference, but there's the essence of Parmigiano Reggiano or Grana Padano, these cheeses, and you know, you've heard Mario Batali say, Parmigiano Reggiano is the king of all cheeses. It truly is. It's aged 18 months. It's taken care of. It's all done by law about how they could prepare
it.
It makes a huge difference. And I have finicky kids that when people are giving them some grated canned cheese, they look at me and they go, Dad, what is this stuff? You could taste right away. But when you can do good cheeses, and here's the other thing, you are paying more, but a little goes a long way. The flavor, the nuttiness, the creaminess, the overall powerful flavor you get out of a good Parmigiano will blow away, and you could use a fraction of what you need to use on something else or some other product that doesn't even keep up with flavor. You're just adding the cheese for the cheese. So, anything,
and you can save those rinds too. I always use them, and
them
in when you know if you're cooking sauces or beans and things like that.
Yeah.
You get to use the rind as well, so you're not throwing money away. You're going to get to use all of it.
Well, you want to know the spoiled childhood I had? We used to get the rind.
Sure, rub it in.
Well, the kids would get the rind after mom would make it with the soup or the sauce, right?
Oh.
She'd throw it in there. But if you start chewing on that rind, we would call it Parmigiano gum because it still had the that elastic thing, the elasticity of gum where you could chew on it. And now I'm chewing cheese. Boy, this is good. You know, like you don't get better than this.
And as we've said, we've talked about, I mean, that is actually like healthy cheese because you're getting a ton of benefit because it's a natural, real fermented food. When it comes from Italy, when it's in a green can, not so much.
Yeah, we don't know what it is. But let's give out this recipe because I love this recipe. It's such a great dish. So we talked about bucatini pasta. We talked about mushrooms. So we need both of those. A pound of bucatini pasta. Listen, I will say this. I've looked at a lot of recipes for a lot of different things, and I'll find a recipe that I'll say 12 ounces or 10 ounces or whatever number of ounces. Pasta comes in pound packages. Don't do anything less than a pound. It makes no sense. Whether you're two people, four people, do 2 pounds if you're four people. You'll have leftover, but believe me, you'll use it somewhere. I always do that. I'm like, I'd never get it. So 1 pound of bucatini pasta, a couple tablespoons of olive oil, 1 pound of assorted wild mushrooms. This is where we talked about whatever blend you could find. If you could do local, that's great. Try not to get anything too delicate or super pricey because of the cream, it's going to be a breakdown in flavor. There are some mushrooms that are better that you kind of pan saute and put on a steak so they really stand out. And some like what we talked about, the portobello, the cremini, the shiitake, that go great with something like this. So we're going to wipe them clean, thinly slice, take the stems off. Quarter cup of chopped shallots, a tablespoon of chopped garlic, 2 teaspoons of fresh thyme leaves, teaspoon of salt, salt and pepper to taste, really. Couple of cups of heavy cream, finely grated Parmigiano Reggiano or Grana Padano, and then chives. And basically, cook your pasta to al dente, and then you want to make sure it stays warm because you're going to make the sauce while the pasta is cooking. In a large saute pan, you're going to heat that. Add the mushrooms, 3 to 4 minutes. They start breaking down. They start giving out some moisture, absorbing some oil. The shallots, the thyme, all that goes in for a couple of minutes. And then you add sherry wine, and I didn't put in the There's a quarter cup of sherry wine that you're going to deglaze with. Let that reduce down. Add the cream. Get it to a boil, and that's going to reduce and really start thickening so it coats the back of a spoon. You add the pasta and the parmigiano in there. Toss it together, and that's important. Pasta always goes into sauce. Sauce doesn't go onto pasta. My grandmother would have yelled at you. And then you remove and heat, serve it into four bowls. Add some more parmigiano if you like, some fresh chives, just to give it some bright, like light onion flavor. The chives will just give it color, flavor, the cheese. You got creamy, you got mushroom. Remember the porcini, if you had the dust, you would add that in when you did the garlic and the shallots because then it would reconstitute. And you have a home run dish that you will thank me for. I trust this dish implicitly. It's amazing. Done.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you had me with that porcini dust. That just turns this thing into a total flavor bomb. Great, and very economical, delicious pasta dish. Okay, Chef, one more time. Say it in beautiful Italian.
It's a bucatini pasta con funghi e crema.
Bella. Bella. All right. Thanks. Again, you can find out more about Chef Luke on www.lucaparis.com. And my friends, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.